Hey there, thanks for joining me on this edition of Fit Friends Happy Hour. My name is Katie Hake and I'm your host. This is episode 138 and today we're going to talk about the purpose for the season of Lent and what can either help or hinder you towards connecting with that purpose. Now, regardless of your religion, I'm going to give you some key takeaways and perspectives to not just heal your own relationship with food and exercise, but tips on how maybe you can nurture those on the same path around you. Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour, a podcast about all things nutrition, fitness, and life in your 20s and 30s, all from a non-diet lens. I'm your host, Katie Hake, and I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist and certified personal trainer. Join me here every week as I talk with interesting people and experts from all walks of life about their relationship with food, exercise, and their bodies. I am on a mission to help you redefine the word fit, to help you stop quantifying and start living. Learn to stop measuring your success by the scale and find your fears. It is currently Tuesday, February 25th, and I really debated about recording this episode because I thought, oh, by the time it airs, it's already going to be into Lent and it may not be as applicable. But, you know, then I started thinking, no, that's even more of a reason why this episode needs to air, you know, a week later after people have started to think about these decisions around Lent or whether for themselves or their family or friends. And it also happens to be National Eating Disorder Awareness Week. So I figured, what a better topic. Let's continue to bring light to these areas that are part of life. And like, we need to talk about them in order for change to occur. So it's interesting. You guys know I wear so many different hats. One of those hats includes, you know, working with TV shows and local news stations and radios. And, you know, a lot of times they'll look for an expert to talk about a topic of nutrition. And so I was pitched a couple ideas about talking about fasting and giving up food and things in the Lenten season. And this morning I had a call with a reporter and she made this comment that said, you know, yeah, it's like a great time. You know, people are falling off the wagon for New Year's resolutions. So like, it's another time to refocus. And I thought, what? Like, I really just had to shake my head. And that's why I'm recording this episode, because that comment kind of fired me up of just, no, that is not the purpose of Lent. At least not for me, at least not for the religion that I come from. So, you know, I'll be honest with you, today's episode is going to be a little bit subjective. I'm going to share my story. I was born and raised Catholic, and I'm going to talk about how Lent has kind of really shaped and hindered me in the years and how I've changed that perspective over the years. But I don't know what background, what nationality, what is important to you and your culture and your faith and your family. But I do hope maybe some of what we talk about today helps to just give you another perspective. Maybe you know somebody who is Christian or who participates in Lent, but maybe they're also going along this non-diet journey with you. You know, how can you support them through this time that it's so much more entwined, right? It's more entangled than just food, which is so much of what the work I do with my clients is helping them understand that food is not just fuel. It's not food in, it's not food out. It's cultural, it's spiritual, it's emotional. You know, there's so many other aspects to food. And rather than fighting that, let's just embrace it. Let's learn to live with it. Let's learn to celebrate it, because that's going to lead to more satisfaction in life. And when we get more satisfaction with food, that equals more satisfaction in life. And it just allows us to live a more fuller, more fulfilled life, which, oh my gosh, at the end of the day, isn't that the point? Now, remember, I want you to remember, maybe write this down, like record me speaking this. I don't know, whatever you need to do. But restrictive eating and disordered eating does not have a look. I know for me personally, when I was going through, you know, the thick of what I can look back as, you know, where I was really not in a good place with food and exercise in my body, you know, I feel like I was fit, but I wasn't necessarily what you'd consider the fittest, right? I didn't have a six-pack abs. I wasn't, you know, as thin as some of my peers, but that just goes to show you, it doesn't matter the size of somebody's body when it comes to their relationship with food. The negative effects of dieting and restriction can be just as harmful to somebody, you know, a 5'4" woman living in a 300-pound body, just as detrimental as that same height living in a, you know, 120-pound body. Restrictive disordered eating does not have a look. It's simply what our society views as, you know, what's acceptable, what's the beauty standard of the society and the culture that we live in. So just remember that. And as we're going through this, just because somebody, you know, if they make comments around their body or food and you, like, you can't brush it off because they're at a certain size, that doesn't matter. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I vividly remember at some point in grade school giving up ice cream for Lent. And even from a young age, like, dieting, it didn't come natural to me because I was raised in a house where all foods were accessible. Food wasn't a big deal. When I decided to be vegetarian for 2 years in grade school, it was no big deal. Everybody else had lasagna and I had my veggie lasagna. Like, food just was a part of life. And so I think my kind of messed up relationship with food came from the society, the culture that we live in, you know, peers, just things that we unfortunately just can't shelter our kids from and young kids around us. Like, it just is the world that we live in, sadly. But I vividly remember giving up ice cream, making that, you know, Lenten sacrifice. And then I think I went home that same day after school and was like, oh, I gotta have ice cream. Like, even from a young age. And it's so strange how those memories just stick with you. And I remember opening up the closet like that vividly. And then I also remember when I was done eating it, or as I was opening up the freezer, debating, do I eat it? Do I not? Like, I remember just thinking, if I could just have the willpower, like why can't I do it? And even from a young age, it's so crazy to think about that at such a young age. But I remember thinking and envying my classmates who in middle school or, you know, even high school, who would say, oh yeah, you know, I gave up snacking for Lent. I gave up snacking and I lost 5 pounds, or I lost, you know, X amount of weight. And I remember just thinking, oh my gosh, I was so jealous and so envious. Like, why don't I have the willpower? Why don't I have the discipline to do that and to get those results or to give up X, Y, Z? And I remember just always feeling like such a failure. And not as vividly as I'm explaining this right now, but definitely it was kind of always in the back of my mind of, well, why can't I do this? Why is it so easy for, you know, Becky to do it? What's wrong with me? Why can't I just not have it? And growing up, my Lenten sacrifice almost always revolved around food. But I was doing some research and, you know, with it being National Eating Disorder Awareness Week, I just wanted to kind of brush up on some of the statistics. And, you know, actually, this is no surprise that all my Lenten sacrifices revolved around food, because according to, you know, this stat from the National Center on Addiction and Substance Abuse, 62.3% of teenage girls and 28.8% of teenage boys report trying to lose weight. So that's over half of teenage girls and a good chunk of boys. 58.6% of girls and 28.2% of boys were actively dieting or are actively dieting right now. 68% of girls and 51% of boys exercise with the goal of losing weight or to avoid gaining weight. Over half of teenagers, girls, are trying to lose weight or exercising to avoid gaining weight. So, gee, it's no wonder that, you know, it was a form of dieting for me at a young age. I didn't realize it at the time, but it was a way of controlling food. Now, remember, I'm not trying to demonize the Catholic Church. That's where I was born and raised. I was so fortunate to go to, you know, a great school. I received an excellent education. This is just my subjective experience. And I can say with certainty that this same internal battles with food and exercise happens to young girls, not in the Catholic school, not dealing with Lent, just in some other form of way, some other form of hidden diet or diet culture that they're dealing with, you know, in relation to their peers where food's involved. Psst, it's me, Katie. And in case you haven't already noticed, I kind of care about you getting results. Now, I'm not talking about results as far as body fat composition or the number on the scale. but I'm talking about implementing the things that you are learning here each and every week. Head on over to Facebook and just search Fit Friends Tribe to request to join our group. This is a free Facebook community where we talk about the podcast episodes each week, and I give you action steps on how to implement what it is that we talked about so that you're not just listening, learning, and absorbing information, but you're part of that top percent, that top 2% that actually takes action and changes their life. So facebook.com, search Fit Friends Tribe. I'm going to ask you a few questions to make sure you're not some weirdo from Antarctica, and we'll let you in. See you there. All right, back to the show. But I also remember, you know, I talk about Becky like losing weight because she was snacking. I also remember, okay, Katie, like you don't need to tell everybody that you're giving up ice cream. You know, you are already told myself, well, you're not going to be able to do this. So why would you tell people? Because you're going to fail and then you're going to feel like a failure in front of people. But then there was also a part of me that thought, okay, don't tell people because that's not the point, Katie. Don't boast about it. But I still always felt myself comparing to others and measuring my success against theirs. So let's reverse engineer, right? Maybe you have a similar story to mine. Maybe you can relate to that, those feelings of restriction and failure and just, why can't I do this? If only I had more willpower, then I'd be able to do it. You know, what do you want to accomplish? What do you want to feel? I talked about in the beginning, you know, the purpose of Lent, the purpose of this season. And I'm not going to go too deep into religion because that's not what we're here for on this podcast. But do you want to feel praise for telling people how you lost weight or because you gave up all the sweets and snacks? Do you want to feel deprived? Do you want to feel out of control and overwhelmed kind of once you're able to have, you know, once the 40 days are over or once you finally give in to said Lenten sacrifice? Or do you want to feel more energized, more connected, closer to your higher power, whatever that is for you, and stronger in your faith? Instead of using this time, and maybe the, you know, maybe you're listening to this when this episode releases and you're about a week into Lent, this isn't meant for you to feel like a failure, or you know, this isn't to shame your choices with food, because I think there's situations where it is acceptable for people to remove a food or remove alcohol or caffeine or something, you know, that we ingest as a form of a Lenten sacrifice if they have a healthy relationship with food. But if you're listening to this podcast, my recommendation to you is that you may not be at a place where the pros outweigh the cons, if that makes sense. So instead of using this time where it seems, you know, quote, socially acceptable to restrict food, consider asking yourself, what is my honest intention behind this sacrifice? If you don't feel like you're doing it for the right reasons, and you know, there are so many other non-food related things that you can abstain from to help you feel closer and more connected in your faith. So maybe you abstain from social media. Maybe that's one platform or all of them. Maybe it's TV. Maybe it's Netflix. Maybe it's gossiping. Maybe it's complaining or a negative attitude. Maybe instead of eating out, you donate the money that you'd normally spend on restaurants to a charity, or same thing with shopping. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's being late. I feel like I should do that. That would be a really good one for me. Stop being late, Katie. Maybe it's lying. Like maybe you've gotten into a habit of telling a little bit of light white lies or just not always being 100% truthful. Maybe it's negative self-talk. Maybe you just are so mean in your head. You've got like this inner mean girl. Maybe this Lenten season, you work on having a more positive chat with yourself, you know, talk to yourself like this higher power, like Jesus or God or, you know, Buddha, whoever it is that you believe in. How would they talk to you, right? They wouldn't talk the trash that you talk in your own head. Now, if this list doesn't spark energy and maybe you don't love the idea of restriction, then there's, again, other things. Think about what you can add. If you find yourself setting food or body-focused goals as hidden as a Lenten sacrifice, you're really missing the point. I'm going to give you some more ideas, and I hope that you can still achieve the same outcomes at the end of your 40 days. You can still feel more connected, you know, more present, whatever that word is that you want to feel. So maybe you decide that you're going to go to church every Sunday or every weekend, Maybe you decide you're going to go to church an additional day of the week, like during the week. Maybe you go to confession, volunteer work, a daily gratitude journal, pray regularly every night before bed, say a decade of the rosary every morning, attend Stations of the Cross. Some of you who aren't Catholic, or if you're like, what are these things? You can replace these with maybe other traditions or things that you do in your faith that are offered. Maybe you read a spiritual-based or personal development book. I personally just finished an audiobook because, you know, I try to read for like 10 minutes and then I fall asleep. So books take me forever to finish. But I recently finished, let me pull it up for you, stand by. It's called Discerning the Voice of God by Priscilla Schreier. I don't think I'm saying that right. S-H-I-R-E-R. But it was recommended to me and everybody else in the audience at Business Boutique by Christy Wright. And even though, again, I still got a lot out of it, even being Catholic, I think this is just, you know, a Christian-based book. I think it's less about having a specific religion that you associate yourself with. And it's more about just having some sort of faith, having some sort of belief in a higher power. Like there's got to be something that you connect to because, you know, spirituality is such a huge part in our life. And, you know, maybe you're at a point in your life where you're going through stuff, or maybe you didn't have quite a positive experience. Use this time as others around you are going through it. Like, where can you just feel more connected? What is it that you need? What is it that you're looking for? You know, what's the missing link out of this, you know, whole wellness bucket that we talk about that you need to fill up in order to feel fulfilled in all areas? Oh, last suggestion before I forget is meditation. Maybe you just take 5 minutes, 1 minute of just silence, focusing, presence throughout your day. Now, if you're still listening to this, I freaking love you, because I'll be honest, I was a little hesitant to share this, but I think, you know, the more that I personally have stepped into my purpose of, you know, sharing my story and hope bringing experts on this podcast to inspire you to change and to not just change your mindset, but to shift your beliefs, it's allowed me to just be more of me. And my faith is part of me. It's part of how I was raised. And so I challenge you today, whatever it is, a part of you that maybe you've been holding back, or maybe you've been hiding because you just feel like, well, maybe people won't connect with it. Just let it go. Because the reality is, the people who need to hear your message need to hear your message. And the people who don't connect with it, well, then they can get out of the car and that's no big deal, right? There's plenty of people who will get back in the car, right? There's plenty of room. So don't worry about it. Do you? Remember, you have the freedom to make the decision that is right for you. You also do not have to share this with others. Your personal spiritual journey is for you. So try to avoid the often unintentional comparison game when you're talking about this topic. And if you enjoyed this episode, please be so kind. Maybe your Lenten due diligence good deed is to leave a review on Fit Friends Happy Hour. We love to hear what you guys think about the podcast because honestly, the way that Apple runs everything, you leaving a review and leaving us a rating, subscribing, that is what helps us to reach others and share this message of stop quantifying and start living to find your fierce.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. If you liked this episode, don't forget to share it with a friend. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at Fit Friends Happy Hour. Talk to you next time.